on verse 8, and this will be a topical sermon to do with my thought life in response to his great love. So Philippians 4, and we start at verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And this is then the verse on which we will focus, together with many other verses in God's Word. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. Amen. Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, have you ever thought about the state of your thought life? Looking from God's perspective, are your and my thoughts expressing an awe-inspired thankfulness to God for who He is and what He has done for me? Most of all, what He has done by giving His Son over to people who did with them as they saw fit. So here is the question. What fills your and my thought life every day, every minute? You know, when I was 2 years old, Broadway brought out a movie. It was a musical called The Most Happy Fella. In this movie, there was a song with a very catchy tune, a song which for most of my childhood years was often heard in many a grocery store and whatever kind of shopping malls we had in those days. But if you are a bit like me, someone who is naturally drawn to catchy tunes, you will find it hard not to want to sing this particular song and to sing the words. And yet, time and time again, when this catchy song comes into my mind, I have to stop at one specific place. Why? Well, because any person who reverences God, yes, any person for whom Jesus Christ is Lord, simply cannot with clear conscience, with a good thought life, sing all the words of the song. And here is how that song starts. It says, standing on a corner, watching all the girls go by. Brother, you don't know a nicer occupation. Matter of fact, neither do I. Than standing on a corner, watching all the girls, watching all the girls, watching all the girls go by. Well, so far, someone could argue that it sounds still somewhat innocent. Yes, up to this point in the song, an unmarried young man could perhaps still sing the words. However, here are the words which the Christian man simply cannot sing in clear conscience. standing on a corner, giving all the girls the eye. Brother, if you've got a rich imagination, give it a whirl, give it a try. Brother, you can't go to jail for what you're thinking. You can't go to jail for what you're thinking. Sure, no one can be brought before a human judge simply for what he or she was thinking. But what about the ultimate judge, our Lord Jesus Christ? Yes, what about God? He will not pass that judge. I mean, does not God's word say, "You, O Lord, perceive my thoughts from afar"? And does it not say, "Before a word is on my tongue, Lord, you know it completely"? My brother and sister, it's not just the thoughts of a young man staring at girls which can go in the wrong direction. No, our Lord once said in Mark chapter 7, it's not the things that go into a man's mouth which make you unclean, but it is the things which come from your heart, from your mind, from your thought life. And then our Lord Jesus gives a whole list of evil thoughts. So he starts with sexual immorality, theft, murder. And we know the Lord's Sermon on the Mount, murder is also anger, adultery, greed, malice or wickedness, deceit, lewdness. Lewdness also means sensuality and self-indulgence. Envy, slander, arrogance or pride, and folly or foolishness. Sadly, my brother and sister, all of these often fill even the minds of the Christian. Question: why are ungodly thoughts wrong? I mean, they are only thoughts. Well, because they grieve our holy God and Jesus Christ, who gave his life for you and me. And because they make us unclean, and they can give birth to sinful actions. After all, God's word says in Proverbs 23, verse 7, as a person thinks within himself, so he is. Well, here is then the main message of our topical sermon. Christian, does your thought life agree with your profession of faith? And here are the three main points of the sermon. A godly thought life. Secondly, the reason why. And lastly, some practical help. First then, godly thought life. Philippians 4 verse 8 lists six good things with which the Christian should feed his or her thoughts. And here they are. They are things true, things honorable, things right or just, things pure, things lovely, and things of good repute. So having heard about these six good things, someone might say, But Pastor, where will I find examples of these six good things so that I can see how it ought to be and live it? Well, of course, even in our fallen world, there are, by God's grace, still many good things to enjoy, even in the secular world. I'm sure you may find good and clean and uplifting music. You may find books, you may find architecture. But of course, the safest and purest source where you and I will find good things for our thought lives is and remains the Bible, God's Word. And our text gives us these six good things which we have mentioned. So then, let us hear under point one, examine briefly these six good things. The first one is then, think about whatever is true. So I think there are boys and girls here, more than in our church. What is the origin? Where does truth come from, you would say? Truth comes from? From God. Mm-hmm. Is God not the ultimate source, the fountain from where all truth comes forth? And the Bible tells us that. In John 3, verse 33, it says, God is true. And is that not also why our Lord Jesus, as the Son of God, revealed about himself that he too is true? He says, for example, in John chapter 7, he who speaks for himself seeks his own glory. But he who is seeking the glory of the one who sent him, he is true. You could also say he is the truth. Well, again, may I prick the children's minds? Guess, dear children, who is the exact opposite of the truth? That's the devil, is it not? The devil. That's why the Bible tells us that the devil is the father of all lies. With him started lies. And we know about what he said to Adam and Eve in the garden. There we could already see. My brother and sister, if God is the ultimate truth and unchangingly so, is it then not logic that also all God's laws, the moral standards which God has given in his word, are like their giver? Their giver is true or truthfulness, and their giver is unchanging and fixed forever? See why it is vitally important that the person who says that he or she loves God triune will feed his mind or her mind with God's word, with the truth of God's word. As Ephesians 6 verse 14 says, put on the truth as a belt. So put on as belt, and so I've got a new belt on. So put on the belt of truth. That is the part of the armor of the Christian soldier. We have a spiritual battle, and so we have to be truthful people in this world. Yes, the truth of God's word must be such an integral part of you and me that we will instantly recognize untruth. Yes, also the untruths, for example, of political correctness. For example, that acting out gay desires is not an offense to God. Of course, that is an untruth. But that comes in the shape of political correctness. Or the untruths of pragmatism. For example, when people say, if something works well for the moment, then it's okay. Like, for example, if for financial reasons, an expecting mother is told to abort her baby, that is not speaking the truth on God's terms. Well, that was the first of the six. That's truth. And we come to the second one, which is whatever is honorable should fill our mind. So this word can also mean whatever is worthy of respect, whatever is of good character. And you know what? This is the exact same word Paul uses in 1 Timothy to describe the character of the elders, also the character of the deacons, and also the character of all Christians. Certainly also of husbands, if husbands want to make it easier for their wives to respect them. They have to have a thought life at first that thinks of all things honorable, respected. But it's also for wives, if they want to make it easier for their husbands to honor them, as 1 Peter 3 verse 7 says. So often people say the wife should respect her husband. The husband should just love his wife. But in 1 Peter 3, husbands are also asked to honor their wives. So things honorable, things of respect. But here's the question: how can one become a person of honorable or respected character? Is it not only when one fills your mind with honorable things, and not with frivolity or silliness, and not with words, books, movies, and songs that treat life as a perpetual joke? You see, once when I met with a family 3 days before the funeral of their elderly mother and mother-in-law, so that I could go with them through the order of the funeral service, the rest of the family and I had to every now and then wait for the one son-in-law, a man in his mid-40s, to finish his silly comments and jokes, by which he thought he was very cute and cool. However, every time he opened his mouth, this man, who was not a churchgoer, he only revealed how far he is from the Lord. But Christians will take their life seriously, and they will live in line with Psalm 90, verse 12. Teach us to number our days, that we may present to you a heart of wisdom. Now, of course, this does not mean that Christians are forbidden to appreciate clean humor. No, it just means that with their thinking and with their actions, Christians will send a clear message to the world, the message that, dear world, life is short. And one day, perhaps even soon, all people will stand before the holy God of heaven and earth. So what should fill our minds? All things honorable. That was the second good thing. Here is a third good thing, and that is whatever is right, or whatever is righteous, or that can also be translated as whatever is just. My brother and sister, the person who really reverences God and loves the Lord Jesus who died for him is the one who will often in awe meditate on and fill his thought life with the righteous acts of God. And is also the person whose righteous thoughts will come out in righteous actions. I mean, does not 1 John 3 tell us the one who practices righteousness is righteous, just as Christ is righteous? So the employer whose thought life is filled with righteousness is the one who treats his workers with righteousness and fairness, knowing that he as employer also has a master, a righteous master in heaven. Colossians chapter 4 verse 1. And so too will be the accountant who truly loves the Lord. He or she will do his or her bookkeeping justly, and in all righteousness, even when no one is looking. And so too the worker whose boss has gone away for a week or two. Whatever is right, whatever is righteous, whatever is just, let that fill your mind. Well, our text gives us the fourth good thing which should fill the Christian mind, and that is whatever is pure. Now, we must understand that Paul's first readers, the Philippians, they lived smack in the middle of pagans. And most of Paul's first readers came out of pagan lifestyle. And so they thought, they had thought little, and those still outside, they thought little of the moral laws of God. Children, that's of the Ten Commandments. They did not like it. So see why Paul exhorted the people of this fledgling Philippian church to fill their minds with whatever is pure and holy? Well, my brother and sister and young people, are not you and I also surrounded by a pagan world which very vividly broadcasts its way of life on TV and in the social media? I once mentioned to a lady in another congregation who could not wait to see every episode of Shortland Street. I said to her, really, you cannot watch that thing. Because sure, some of the problems those people are struggling with, some Christian families may also struggle with these things, but the way they handle their struggles are so different. And so how can that feed our Christian thought life, our Christian mind? And the lady was angry with me. Our text says, don't fill your mind with rubbish. Fill your mind with whatever is pure and holy. If Christ comes tonight or calls you home tonight, how does he want to find you? Does he not want to find you and me as his pure and holy and adorned bride? Indeed, everyone who hopes to see the Lord Jesus is one who will want to purify him or herself just as Jesus is pure. Well, in the second last place, our text exhorts us to fill our minds with whatever is lovely, whatever is pleasing. Now, literally, it means with that which breathes out love to others, and that which evokes, that which draws out love from others. But that is, of course, always love on God's terms and for his glory. Well, lastly, our text says that things of good repute should fill our thought life, of good repute. And here we think of a person who, in his or her mind, thinks of ways in which he or she can behave or conduct him or herself in a way that will be commendable, not so much for the benefit of the person himself, but for the furtherance of the gospel. And that was the Apostle Paul's main point. Your life, whatever you live, whatever you say, should work for the furtherance of the gospel. And so that is anything of good repute should fill the mind. And then Paul sums up what he has said. He exhorts the Philippians and you and me to fill our thought life with anything, anything which is excellent and praiseworthy. And then there from where Paul was sitting in the Roman jail, not knowing whether he would ever again see the Philippians in person, he, as their pastor and leader, holds himself humbly as an example to the Philippians. And he was not boasting, for you and I must understand that at the time when he wrote Philippians, Now, that could have been around the year 60-61 AD. Not much of the New Testament had been written. And so the letter to the Philippians was probably the only New Testament book which they had in hand to read when it came to them. Perhaps one of the Gospels, the Gospel of Mark. But for the rest, they had to remember God's word spoken to them by Paul when Paul was there. But now he's in jail. And he says, whatever you have learned and received and heard from me or seen in me, put that into practice. So see me as that example. See, a good thought life will give birth to good practice. We come to point two, which is shorter than point one, and it's entitled The Reason Why. The reason why I will seek a godly thought life. My brother and sister and boys and girls, who is the person who will seek a God-honoring thought life? Is it the person who strives in own strength to try and make him or herself right with God? No. The person who seeks a God-honoring thought life is the one who, by the inworking of God's Holy Spirit, has been born again, has been born from above. And of course, to be born again means that at one stage in your life, you have received the Lord Jesus as your Savior and also your Lord. It is from your heart. It was a heartfelt change. We don't know when it happened. Not everyone can tell. Some can tell you that they knew the Lord and loved Him from their birth, from as little, far back as they can remember. Some others have come to Him only recently. But it is such a person who will want to live a God-honoring thought life because he remembers the Lord Jesus who died for him or for her, and he's in total awe and in amazement of what God has done. The question is, is that you? If that is you, then by God's grace, you have received the Lord Jesus not only as your Savior, but you have also made Him Lord and Master of your life. You see, sometimes you hear people say, Jesus is my Savior. But hang on, is He also your Lord? If He's your Lord, if you have been born from above, born again, then your thought life will be in sync with the thought life of Christ. Or as the Apostle Paul says, you will have the mind of Christ, 1 Corinthians 2 verse 16, which means that in your heart of hearts, you will also love to do what 2 Corinthians 10 says. You will take every thought captive and make it obedient to Christ. Yes, you will, as Romans 12 verse 2 says, you will be loved to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Perhaps you say, perhaps someone says, but Pastor, how will I succeed in having a God-honoring thought life? After all, Pastor, evil and the devil, the evil one, is all around us, and it's in this world. It's everywhere. It's in our neighborhoods. Pastor, it's on my TV in my lounge. It's in the social media in my hand, my cell phone, my tablet. Pastor, sometimes even without my doing, temptation just pops up and comes my way. I still love the old saying, you cannot prevent a bird from flying over your head, but you can stop that bird from making its nest in your hair. You can switch to another TV channel. You can't change to another screen on your cell phone. Does not James 4 verse 7 say a similar thing? Resist the devil and he will flee from you. I have heard some people say, but I have tried to resist the devil. But did you really? If you say, I want to resist the devil in this particular area of my thought life, oh Lord, help me. It must come from your heart. You must will it. You must want it. Perhaps you ask, but Pastor, what can I use to help me? Well, that brings us to the last short point in the sermon. Practical help. There are two things that the person who really loves the Lord can do to help him or her keep his or her thought life healthy. And that is making good things enter your mind and blocking bad things from entering your mind. You have to do both. You see, if you only look after making good things entering your mind, yet at the same time you don't prevent bad things from slipping in, then you are like the person who half the time puts unhealthy food into his stomach, thinking that, oh, the few good things that I'm going to eat tomorrow, that will cancel this out. No, that can't fix your problem. Don't we often commit the same sin regarding our thought life and mind? My brother and sister and young people, it is impossible. I like what this one Christian author says. It is impossible for every Christian who spends the bulk of his evenings, month after month, week after week, day in, day out, watching the major TV networks or contemporary videos, it's impossible for such a person to have a Christian mind. But in contrast, God's word commands, above all else, guard, watch over your heart, which means, in Old Testament terms, watch over your thought life, for it is the wellspring of life. So here is then a question. What would be the right posture for the Christian mind to go graze in? Well, as our text explains, anything which is a matter of moral and spiritual excellence. And so of real practical help is God's word. The Christian should read God's word daily. Children, young people, I said it this morning, I say it again. I have once asked young people in a catechism class long ago, how often do you read your Bible and pray by yourself? And the answer is, the honest answer from church-going catechism children or students was, perhaps once a week on a Friday night, if I'm not too tired before bedtime. That's not enough. If we love the Lord, we will read His word. So, someone once said, you cannot be profoundly influenced by that which you do not know. It is through Bible reading that we gain memory verses that speak to the problems that we struggle with. And unless you and I have God's word well established in our thought life, we cannot use it in the hour of temptation. Is Jesus not our example here? There where in temptation's hour, he was able to quote the Bible verses which he, according to his human nature, had memorized since he was a little child. Well, you might say, but Pastor, what about something else? What else can I use to fill my thought life? Well, apart from regular Bible reading, the Christian can also expose his or her mind to the sermons of godly men. Yes, the sermons and commentaries of, for example, John Calvin, Jonathan Edwards, Charles Spurgeon, Matthew Henry, J.C. Ryle, Martin Lewis, R.C. Sproul, and some others. I mean, these preachers, they walked with God. And so, can they not feed your soul? But you might be like me. What if you don't like reading or you don't have time? You could listen to those sermons via the internet, even on your cell phone, as some often do. I often do that when I walk my doggy, the Schnauzer Fritz. I listen to sermons through my smartphone, and I love R.C. Sproul. And he helped me a great deal. Of course, lastly, you could also listen to wholesome music like the great psalms and hymns of faith. I mean, this green Sing to the Lord Psalter hymnal in its back. It has 8 pages filled with the names of people who have composed psalms and hymns, and they composed those psalms and hymns through centuries, perhaps mostly to teach the illiterate people sound theology. So you sing these songs in church, you hear them on the radio or on the TV or wherever, and their words fill your mind. Last Sunday night, Annette and I had a wonderful time when, after we came home from the worship service, we sat and we looked at and listened to the music of the Gettys on my cell phone, and it was beautiful. It was a holy moment. So, my brother and sister, most of these you can listen to or look at on YouTube, on your laptop, your tablet, or phone. So, that Broadway song, "You Can't Go to Jail for What You're Thinking." We must remember, you can't go to jail for that, but you're going to come and stand before the judge of heaven and earth. And he knows, and he will have remembered your every thought. What will happen with you on that last day? Surely the Christian has been saved by grace through faith alone. So you should be right with God. But do you want to come and stand before your loving Lord, who gave his life for you? Would you like to come and stand before him dirty or unkempt, with an ugly thought life? Or would you want to stand before him clothed and adorned, with a healthy thought life, with a life lived as much as possible according to his commandments? As Jesus says, if you love me, you will obey my commandments. I pray that it's the last mentioned, that you will come to adorn your thought life, and I will come to do that, and so that when our Lord appears, we will stand before him in awe and in great thankfulness, well kept, well adorned as his bride. Amen. Let us come before the Lord in prayer. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, O Lord God, we are human beings, O Father. Yes, we say we love you, and we have once made that profession of faith, and we made that a heartfelt profession of faith, O Lord, but we are so weak, And so we come and pray to you, O Father, to guide us, to touch our hearts. Help us to see, O Lord, and put in an effort to search online or on YouTube, sermons to listen to, music, Christian music to listen to or watch, and to fill our thought life with word study, regularly reading, and prayer with you. Help us to walk with you, O Father. O Lord Jesus, we praise and thank you that you gave yourself for us, and that you did not stay dead, but that your resurrection has become proof of the payment you made for us and proof of our resurrection. O Lord, will you forgive us our sins? Our sins, past sins of wrong thoughts, evil thoughts. And will you help us to learn the skill to quickly replace evil thoughts with good ones? O Father, and help us to not feed ourselves with bad things. Hear us, O Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Shall we stand to sing?